What's up, guys, and welcome into the JP and Trav Show, live on OU Insider. As always, it's your host with the most, Jalen Posey, better known in the Sooner streets as JP. To my right, I have my esteemed co-host, brother, and friend, Travis J. Davidson. Travis, how you feeling, bro?
Man, exhausted. I won't lie. It has been a day. I had a meeting with a realtor in Oklahoma City this morning at 9:30, and then I went to go drive down to another meeting in Norman at 11, and my tire blew out on I-35 South, and so I had to change a tire in like slacks and a polo, and you know, some of those like the comfortable style of dress shoes. So I had to get down, like melted the top of my shoes because they were on the 300 degree asphalt. I didn't notice it till later, but changed that, threw my donut on, went, had lunch with Barry Switzer. That was cool. Had the Skip, you know, Skip Johnson won a title, so he gets his own sandwich. It's just tuna, salad, and mustard on whole wheat, because that's Skip for you right there. Just keep it simple. And then after that, went and picked up some stuff from our buddy Wallace's house, and then met with OU basketball about some stuff that we're doing. And then went up. I knew I was going to have to drive back to Tulsa on a donut. And I'm like, bro, you can only go like 50 on those things. So I'm like, all right, like, especially with how hot the day was, I was like, I will have to drive 40 miles an hour from Norman to Tulsa. So that's going to be a 3-hour drive. So I'd rather not. So I stopped in, bought a new tire, you know, unexpectedly today. Don't you love unexpected expenses 3 weeks before your wedding? Isn't that the best?
It's the worst, really.
So anyways, got back to Tulsa, we got a big event for OU Club of Tulsa going on this weekend. So really excited about that, but yeah, man, how are you?
I'm doing good, bro. I'm doing good. Like you said, got a lot going on. Job's good. You know, a lot going on in Sooner Nation. We're gearing up for fall camp. Feels like it's just right around the corner, man. You know, soon after your wedding. I mean, it's going to be on. And
that's what's great about, like, when you win a baseball national title, you play so late. And then you had, like, you know, Soresby. You had, you know, Big 12 media days just hit. Obviously, we got, you know, news out of that with the what's up, Glenn? News out of that with the Monster deal, which is so interesting. You know, it's just, we're ready to football season. You know what I mean? Like, you went baseball season, football season, boom. And that's why I'm excited. Like, usually you have to stretch these topics out that we're going to be talking about this evening. Usually you have to stretch them out for like a month. Like, it's a long time. But I mean, we've got SEC media days coming up and list season and everything and odds, like game spreads, everything like that is all hitting. Right. So, we thought it would be fun to knock out all of the evergreen topics that we deal with every offseason, but we're going to cram them all into one episode because OU Athletics has given so generously to content creators and you know, this offseason, this season, that we can cram all this into one and then get back into some real action next week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a fun time, man. We got a lot to talk about. This Saturday is, I'm turning 30, you know.
Dirty
for your boy.
30, you're going to be old.
I know, I'm unk now. That's what they call me in the streets. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend, man. But before we dive in today, man, make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe. We're pushing for 40K. Really before, if I'm not mistaken, Trav, before the first game of the season.
I'm trying to go before fall camp.
Fall camp. Oh, hey.
Before August 1st, before my wedding day.
Before his wedding. You got 3 weeks. You heard it here first. 3 weeks. We're making a push on OU Insider, largest YouTube platform in Sooner Sports. Make a push on OU Insider, 40,000. So make sure you like and comment, subscribe. If you're in here now on X, go ahead and share. Let's get as many people in here as we can. Make sure you know it's going to be a fun time. Topics you can comment under. the X post as well, so you guys can get involved in the conversation. And then on YouTube, of course, same with you. Share the link with your friends. Let them know, hey, JP and Trav are talking about some fun topics. They want your opinion. Your, you know, question or opinion or statement can be put on the show. We've had that happen so many times over the years. It's been fun things to talk about. But Travis, without further ado, man, let's get into the first topic of the day. And a lot of you guys saw it on X. I posted it earlier. And that is, what's the biggest what if in OU football history? I asked a lot of you, you know, what your opinion was on this. We got a lot of responses, Trav. We got quite a few to go through here. Obviously, I want to hear yours, Travis, and I'll give mine. But man, I'm gonna go ahead and throw up some of these. Got from X. And if you're in the comment section right now on YouTube, go ahead, put it in the chat, and we'll throw it up as well. All right.
Yeah, so, this is gonna be a heavily interactive show. This is you know, a lot of times when we have guests on, like, we save questions to the end and whatnot. This is going to be a highly interactive show. So there's going to be a bunch of questions that pop up. We're going to take a lot of comments. We're going to have conversations, things like that. So lock in.
Lock in, twin. All right. So first one from MD Rich on X. It just says, DeMarco. Sigh. Rich. We all know what he's talking about. And that is the 2008 National Championship game against the University of Florida, where we lost. It was 21-14 or
24-14? I was there. I can't remember.
One of those two scores.
I think it was 24. Like I said, I was there sitting next to Joaquin Iglesias's family, and I can't remember. I'm trying to wipe out that memory. I remember driving back to the hotel on South Beach with my dad. And he, like, I'm crushed, right? I'm like, man, we win this game. And my dad's like, hey, we're in South Beach in January. It could be worse. I was like, yeah, I don't know if it could. Like, but he did have a point. We had a good time down in South Beach. But yeah, it was DeMarco. And that's the thing. When you can say just like one word and everybody's like, yep. Yeah. Everybody knows.
You know. Okay, next up is from Johnny Boy 316. What if Bob Stoops coaches one more year in 2017? So no Lincoln Riley, no handoff. What if Bob Stoops is coaching that 2017 team?
Yeah, I mean, that has all kinds of ramifications, right? I mean, you've got, you know, Baker in his best. You've got an entire offense of NFL players, the entire offense played in the NFL. You wonder then, like, if he's able to coach that team and Riley is the offensive coordinator still at that juncture, like, do you win that national championship? And if you win that national championship, does he retire immediately? Like, is there a sense of, and then if he doesn't retire right away, does he hand the keys to Brent Venables, you know, a couple years earlier, you know, or a couple years later for him, and then a couple years earlier to be a head coach for Brent? Like, that's a big one. I don't know. Do you think we win a national championship with Bob Stoops coaching that team?
You feel like they have Bob Stoops' edge, Trav. I mean, especially going up. And here's the reality is, it doesn't mean you're absent Lincoln Riley on the offensive side
of
the
right. You still get him as an OC.
So, I mean, with him as the OC and Bob as the guy running things, you know, he was named Big Game Bob for a reason. And I understand that, you know, we had a few national championship games, you know, that you know, kind of tried to put water on some of that narrative. But he still was the only coach to ever win every BCS bowl, correct?
I believe so. It gets a little wonky with the playoff because, like, they end up being semifinal games. So, but yeah, it was, I think, all New Year's Six.
Yeah.
Or all BCS bowls plus, like, the holiday, or I don't know. There was another one in there. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you can say what you want about Bob Stoops down the stretch, but brother, that team with Lincoln Riley as OC, I mean, That's a heck of a what if, because it's not like it's so multifaceted, right? It is Brent Venables head coach right now. If Bob Stoops was head coach in 2017, no way to know.
Yeah, no, it's hard, and that's why it's a what if. But man, that would be a huge one. Okay, let's keep it going. Next up, we have, and then after these next couple, I'm going to ask you yours, Trav. So keep it in there.
Okay.
Boomer Boy, or Sooner GW, says, "What if Caleb Williams stayed?" So if Caleb never followed Lincoln, what happens that next year?
I would say, because if he stays, like, I mean, most people stay. I think if he stays, he wins the Heisman Trophy. Caleb was winning the Heisman Trophy no matter what. Like, no matter where he was. It was obvious he was the best player in college football. Mm-hmm. It was obvious he was destined to be the number one pick. Like, you know, Levy with him would have been fine. But man, does Oklahoma make the playoff? I mean, they were a 6-win team with Dylan Gabriel right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, and can Caleb cover up that much? And there were a lot of close losses.
There were.
I mean, let's see. And I think, didn't we miss a field goal in like every one of our losses?
West Virginia. Oh, that was painful. I was at that one.
I know. The weather was terrible. And
so
I remember doing radio with Tyler McComas that day.
So upset. Yeah. West Virginia was that year. Who else we lose to?
All right, so I'm gonna name the single-digit losses, or the single-digit losses. We lost by 7 to Kansas State. We lost by 3 to Baylor, 3 to West Virginia, 3 to Texas Tech, and 4 to Florida State, or in 3 to Florida State. So, you know, is Caleb worth 3 points? I have to think he is.
You have to think so.
I mean,
you have to.
Is he worth 7? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so part of the issue was that defense in the first year was so bad. And everybody was like, man, Brent Venables, what did we get? I mean, you gave up 41 in a loss, 55 in a loss, 49 in a loss, 38 in a loss, 51 in a loss,
yeah,
35 in a loss. Like, I can't even imagine, like, looking at those now, like, a Brent Venables defense would never do that. Like, could you imagine giving up 96? I mean, forget that. Giving up 104 points in 2 games?
Yeah.
Back-to-back games? Like,
it's disgusting, really.
Disgusting. And you have Eric Gray. You would have Eric Gray, Marvin Mims, Drake Stoops, Jaleel Farouk, all with Caleb. Brother.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Okay.
And he played 2 years at USC. If he never leaves, you've got him
in 2023 as well.
You got him in 2023 as well. I mean, I know you win 10 games, but you win 11, you know? Do you? So it's, yeah, Caleb's a big one for sure.
It is.
He's a great player. He's on the cover of Madden.
All right, next one, trying to go back a little bit. We've been staying in the, you know, the more recent generation. Brandon F. Dub says, what if Jason White doesn't overthrow Kiwan Jones in the 2004 Sugar Bowl versus LSU?
Another national championship. I mean, simple as that. I mean, another national championship. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, what does that mean if Oklahoma is able to stack, again, big picture? What does that mean if Oklahoma is able to stack a couple titles within 5 years of each other? What is Bob Stoops, you know, resume stack up against, you know, and some of the greats? Like, we know him around here, you know, as one of the winningest coaches, you know, ever, and coached a long time at a high level. I mean, in my office right now at Stride, I had a menu he signed at Cardinal Club when he came in to eat one night, and it was like, "You want it full dress?" I was like, "Yeah, why not?" He was like, "Big 12 champs." It was like, I forget how many. It's the whole page. And he's like, "National champs, 2000. I'm like, a guy that wins the conference that much, dominates Texas like he does, dominates everybody like he does,
yeah,
you know, fills the NFL with all kinds of draft picks. You give him a second title, he's talked about in a different way. And I think, you know, if he completes that pass to Kiwan, I mean,
it just hurts, man.
Are we giving them the game if that's the case?
It just hurts. If that happens, like, we're talking about 2004, and USC in 2005 was a gauntlet. I'm not saying that we find the way to win that one. I mean, they were on their own run, but you talk about going back to 08. If we win that one, like, Oklahoma's talk about in a completely different stratosphere. At this point, we still are respected, right? Like, people like to say, "Oh, you have a good dumb," but they can't take away that we are one of the most winningest programs, like, obviously of all time, but certainly of the 21st century.
Right.
But you add those extra, like, you talk about three national championships in that decade. I mean, we're able to talk to Ohio State. We might even be able to talk to Bama.
Right.
You know? But unfortunately, that kind of it was at that time. You were talking about OU and Ohio State, honestly, 1A, 1B in terms of blue bloods. And Alabama was here. And now it's Alabama here.
Ohio State. Saban, yeah. Saban's a blue blood unto himself. So,
yeah. Indeed, man. Indeed. All right, Trav, what's your biggest what if, man, in OU football history?
And I think it is recent. I get it's recent, like, but I think it's probably the squib kick. Like, I think it's, and maybe it's not the kick itself, but it's something in that game, because if Oklahoma wins a title that year, and because I just know that if they win that game, they're winning the championship. Like, it's, you know, it's like the Vikings, and this will hurt your feelings, but when the Vikings should have beat the Saints in Bounty Gate, like, the winner of the Super Bowl is coming from the NFC that year. Like, we'll forget who represented the AFC that year, but, like, the Super Bowl champion was coming from the NFC. Like, so, like, but do we think that if they win that Rose Bowl against Georgia, do they go on to win the title? If they do go on to win the title, what does that mean for Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
You knock off one of the longest droughts of any of the blue bloods.
Yeah.
You reset that clock. You get on the right side of Texas with the most recent title. You get high up in the SEC, you know, as a most recent title. Who knows what happens with, you know, I mean, Baker is looked at – he's already looked at as one of the greatest of all time. You finish that with a ring, he's in a whole nother pantheon that somehow Baker – I mean, it feels like Baker got to every height that you could imagine, but that's the only thing he's missing. So that's what your Burrow has. That's what your Cam has. That's what your Tebow has. You know, so when you start talking about, you know, the greats, that's what he's missing. So, I mean, probably the greatest.
I agree with that.
I mean, maybe. I mean, those running backs, man. Like,
yes, the running backs are great, but 2022 Georgia was nasty, though.
2022 Georgia was nasty for sure. But,
and Jake Fromm is not better. I mean, Jake Fromm ain't better than Stetson Bennett.
I don't know. I think Stetson Bennett stinks.
I mean, in the NFL, but, like, he was making plays. He was making plays
with a great run game and the best defense in the country. Like, Stetson Bennett was a walk-on for a reason. Like, like, there's not – he ain't Baker Mayfield walk-on.
No,
like,
no.
Like,
he did good, though.
Stetson, yeah.
My biggest what if, Trav, and then we'll continue to move on here. My biggest what if in Oklahoma football history, and I know this is going to show my youth, and that's okay.
Right.
If Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine come back in 2017. And it's another side of the coin, because you said squib kick, and I'm saying if you have a three-headed monster of Joe Mixon, a finally healthy Rodney Anderson, and Samaje Perine, I don't know that it matters. Because what happened there at the end was Georgia got so aggressive, and it's not Rodney's fault, don't get me wrong, but you know, they're all such different types of backs. Rodney was kind of made in a little bit of Joe's image because he could do a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. But I mean, imagine being able to get some tough, gritty yards that were needed with Samaje. Like, I just know that Samaje's not going down, brother. I know he's not. Joe maybe is going to take one to the house that Rodney, because Joe's a little bit more of a house caller than Rodney.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? Explode. Rodney was kind of in between. Yeah. But I think if that's the running back room that you have, which for all intents and purposes would probably be arguably the best running back room in totality of the last 20 years. Maybe that's crazy to say, Travis. Maybe that's crazy to say. But
that Georgia room was good. Bama had a room that was fantastic. Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm tripping. Bama. I'll give it to Bama, but I feel like it's better than Georgia's, because I think that Joe's done in the NFL, and Samaje, I mean, Sony Michel's not even in the NFL anymore, or he's not even a respectable running back. Samaje still is. Samaje still getting contracts. Joe is seen as a top 10 running back, and Rodney, I think if he didn't tear his ACL, probably would have been too. So anyways, I digress. That's my biggest what if, because I think that we end up finding a way, despite our crappy defense, to figure it out by controlling the game more.
I would say an honorable mention for me. And it kind of goes along the same way of like the drought, like shutting down the drought. But like, if Sam Bradford stays healthy in 2009, like,
yeah.
So that team, like, I talked to Dom Franks about it all the time, and he was like, dude, we were all pups in 2008. Like, we weren't supposed to be there. Like, you had all of us coming back. Yeah. So, like, you had Sam back. Like, you had the whole defense back. Like, you had guys that had just played a national championship game, and Florida was decimated after that due to the draft. But, like, If Sam's healthy and doesn't hurt himself twice, like, Oklahoma's probably your title favorite. And that's really, you know, Sam's career, you know, one of the most talented quarterbacks that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But it's just, he just was never a big guy. I mean, I remember watching him for the Kings, and I'm like, man, he looks like he's wearing his older brother's pads, but he can sure dot up a defense. But couldn't stay healthy. So, yeah, I think if he's healthy for the 2009 season, Oklahoma's probably playing for another national championship.
Yeah. Oh, man. What if? Trav, yeah, let's go on to –
Well, but the rest of that team was so good.
They were. They were.
Sam Bradford. You would have had Sam Bradford at the height of his powers.
Yes.
With a defense that was a year older, a year better. Like, season, like, it's, you know, they had a lot of NFL players on that team.
Yeah. They did, man. They did. And speaking of one Sam Bradford, obviously who's been in the news this week, as we've seen with John Mater a little bit. Who is on OU's offensive Mount Rushmore? We talk about Sam Bradford. We can talk about Jason White. We can talk about Baker Mayfield. And that's, you know, obviously, I think that may be easy for some people because they're Heisman winners. Kyler, you know, like, are you putting all four quarterbacks up there? Who are we putting on OU's offensive Mount Rushmore? You only get four. So those watching on X, those watching on YouTube, in the chat, and make sure you guys are chiming in here. Who is it?
Oh, for me, it's, you know, it's got to be Baker is on it.
Got to. You have to.
I would say, man, it's tough because I've been around Billy Sims and Joe Washington and these guys lately. I would say Keith Jackson.
Okay.
I'm writing these down as I go. Baker, Keith Jackson. The tough part is team success or individual success, right? It's offensively. And then does the number one pick matter? Because that's technically an NFL thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to stick with, you know, Keith Jackson, you know, what, three-time All-American, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go, and this is, again, biased towards what we've known since, but
sure,
Trent Williams. I mean, he was on that 09 team that mm-hmm. that would have been, you know, if Sam was healthy, I think right there. Man, it's tough, right? You're like,
guess seven Heisman winners.
Steve Owens, you know, has some seven stupid stats. Like Steve Owens, Billy Sims. Pretty, I don't think any of us were around watching Billy Vessels cut people up, but it's tough because Kyler, man, the dude's crazy special, led one of the most prolific offense of all time. Mm-hmm. I'll probably go Bradford. So there's a lot of good options out there. Little Joe, Greg Pruitt, Kenny King, you know,
yeah.
You know, Jamel Holloway, Thomas Lott. You know, it's – but I'm going to go with Bradford, Trent Williams, Keith Jackson, and Baker Mayfield. What are your four?
Man, that's a good list, bro. I'm going to say – I also want to say I'm going to do one from each position group, but I mean, it's hard to do because then you're going to overlook somebody. Baker's definitely up there. I think that's a given. I feel like you could argue Billy Sims and Adrian Peterson. Obviously, Billy Sims was the classic guy. Adrian Peterson was the modern age kind of.
Billy won the Heisman. You know,
he did. Some people believe Adrian should have, obviously, but again, you can't argue semantics. So I think it's fair. Bill, I'm gonna put Baker. I'm gonna put Billy, which both of those guys together, they love each other anyway. And then I have to agree with you with Trent Williams, just who he's been. He's gonna be an NFL Hall of Famer too. I think that matters, you know, a little bit too. Obviously, what you do in college, but you know how he's supported and represented the school. So I agree.
Yeah.
OU, Billy, Trent. And then this is probably going to surprise some people because I think there could be theoretically in some people's eyes more deserving, but I'm going to put Ryan Broyles.
Okay.
Up there. And it's because he became one of the models of consistency, and I think he was synonymous with OU's consistency in the 21st century. When you look at just the record that he was able to break, which is no shabby record at all, right?
Right.
Become the NCAA's most leading wide receiver at that time. And, you know, he got it out the mud, and I think he represents Oklahoma in that way from Oklahoma. So and keeping lockstep with trying to find somebody for different position groups. That's how I probably try to craft my Mount Rushmore. And so I'm gonna put Ryan Burrows up there. I know some people are gonna be like, really, Ryan Burrows? But I mean, hey, he was an NCAA record holder. He was.
Yeah, I mean, it's NCAA record holder is good. I wish he'd have won the Biletnikoff or anything. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that would go a long way in a Rushmore argument, right? Like, what big national awards do you have, right?
Sure.
So, a lot of Adrian, right? KRJ, we're on offense right now, big fella.
Oh, my fault.
We're on offense, but trust me, Brian Bosworth is making the defensive one. I promise you that.
Yes. Adrian and yep, they do.
Billy's got a massive one. I mean, he won the Heisman as a running back. CeeDee Lamb, okay.
I mean, CeeDee Lamb's better than Ryan Burrows. I don't think anybody would argue that, but, you know. Oh, Mr. Got the OU DNA.
Okay, he's got Burrows up there with you.
He does.
Got Bradford and Trent Williams up there with me, though, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the facts. It's easier to show somebody's age the way they answer it. Lamb was the better wide receiver than Burrows overall, but he didn't have a better career.
He's prolific.
He didn't have a better career than Ryan, though. See, you might be the best wide receiver ever come out of OU.
For real. You think?
I mean, just talking about NFL success, at least.
Yeah, I think like prototypical NFL, like wide receiver one. Yeah, it's CD. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think with Sims, I don't know, like he was so prolific, mm-hmm. won the Heisman as a running back, finished second in the Heisman the next year. Like, who out there has multiple top two or has multiple top two finishes in the Heisman? Hey, I love me some Hollywood Brown. But, yeah, like I said, in that championship game, I sat next to Joaquin Iglesias' parents. And we're not forgetting Mark Clayton either if we're just throwing.
Yeah, if we're throwing names out there.
Mark Clayton, best yards after catch guy. Maybe you know your history, possibly.
All right, let's get to the defensive side.
He still looks like he can play. All right.
Defensive side of the ball.
Defensive side.
I'll start with this one.
You're going first.
Yeah. And chat, go ahead, chime in here. Defensive side of the ball, Leroy Selman obviously has to be up there.
Yep.
Brian Bosworth.
Easy.
Has to be up there. Roy Williams has to be up there. And I don't know that I'm going to do the position group. I mean, we've had a lot of good cornerbacks, but if I had to choose another Oklahoma player to be on the defensive Mount Rushmore, honestly, it'd have to be Gerald McCoy for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it would. So, Boz, Leroy Selman, Gerald McCoy, and Roy Williams. Those are my four because, yeah, look, as soon as for life, he agrees with me here. I think Gerald is like, is the new, like he's a new age. And as good as Tommy Harris, well, I don't think Tommy Harris is better than Gerald McCoy. And Gerald McCoy had a better career than Tommy Harris. And he's been a huge OU spokesperson as well. And I think those things matter in the conversation. So that's what I would say. Trav, how about you?
It would be tough for me. It would be tough for me to leave off my favorite corner that has ever played at But Selman Bros, you getting all three of them up there?
Yeah, you can't do all three, brother.
I mean, I know they got a statue together, but you can't put that statue on Mount Rushmore. But Derek Strait has got that OU DNA, our boy. Ricky Dixon. I would probably go Boz, Leroy Selman, Roy Williams, and Tulsa native Lombardi Trophy winner, national champion, Tony Casillas.
Okay.
I was talking to him recently. He signed some stuff, sent a jersey and that not for the OU Club of Tulsa stuff. And I think people now, I don't know if they just don't remember what kind of lineman he was, but Barry Switzer called him the best defensive lineman he'd ever coached.
Yeah.
So I would say, Tony Casillas. Tony Casillas, Brian Bosworth, Leroy Selman, and Roy Williams. That's my final answer. Yep, East Central grad, Tulsa zone. Sonny Brown hit me with a shanked golf ball out in Belmar. So I'm excusing him from this list. No hard feelings. He was apologetic, and I was standing a little too far up the car path. But yeah, he smoked me.
Dang.
Didn't Tony Casillas? I don't think so. I mean, I've sat next to him at games, so I don't know. If he does, it's not recent. That's
honorable mention for real.
Get honorable mention.
Or Williams an honorable mention.
Oklahoma's honorable mentions could be most people's, especially defensively. I mean, could be most people's. I mean, you got Rod Schoate, you got Teddy, you know, you've got your Derek Strait, your Ricky Dixons, Tommy Harris, Joe McCoy, Kalmus, the rest of the Selman brothers.
Yep.
Like, you go on and on. Like,
really good.
You had a lot of dudes.
It's a good conversation. I mean, it's definitely something to think about. And if you're watching after Warren on the live, man, put it in the comments below. Let us know what you think. It could be a fun thing to debate with your family and friends over this week and weekend. Moving on, in somewhat of a similar vein, what former OU player would you add to this current Oklahoma team, Team 132, on offense?
Boy, it's tough because you have to think positional value, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you could say, you know, if we just go off of like the Rushmore situation, like I had Trent Williams, but you feel good about Michael Fasusi right now. Like, you don't feel like that's a weakness on offense, right? Now, obviously, there are going to be people that say, we'll just put Baker Mayfield, put, you know, peak Baker Mayfield behind center, and he's going to, you know, take you to heights, right? When you think, I mean, the tight end room, Keith Jackson, I know stylistically it's completely different, but you know, the tight end room. I bet Jason Witten would like to have Keith Jackson. Sam Bradford again, another quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to go positionally. Like, maybe it's Creed Humphrey. Like, you know, one of the best centers in the NFL and was on that Joe Moore Award line. You know, could you put Fasusi at right tackle and Trent Williams at left? Is that being greedy? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so Leroy Selman is absolutely the best. See, I don't know. Like, if I'm going with running back and I could add anybody. Yeah, there you go. Dimitri Flowers came to our golf tournament. He's awesome.
I was gonna say who is Trey Flowers? Okay, RJ, he must be thinking about his Trey Twitter Millard. Name. Tree.
Trey Millard.
Trey Millard, yeah. A mix of the two? Yeah.
I think if you go running back, I think it's gotta be like one of your Heisman winners or one of your top 10 picks. You know, yeah. One of your
it's gotta like, be Adrian, man.
Oklahoma's yeah, it feels like it's gotta be Adrian if you're adding somebody. Billy Sims, you know, Joe Washington, Greg Pruitt. I mean, people forget Greg Pruitt finished second and then third in the Heisman Trophy race. Like, he two did. Top three finishes, and people are like, he's not a name that's brought up a lot.
Yeah.
And he was an all-pro returner in the NFL. Like, so you have an all-pro returner in the NFL. I don't know. Greg Pruitt slept on. But, yeah, you're going to get – if you can get Marcus Dupree healthy – I was at lunch with Switzer today. And we were talking about Marcus, and he's like, man, he goes, he did the impossible. He said he was out of football. He was 300 pounds, and he just decided he wanted to go back and play professional football, and he did it. He's like, you're out of the league for 4 years, and you're out of shape, and you just lock back in, get in shape, and go play in professionally at least. He's like, that's different. So Adrian Peterson is what Pop says. Got to be AD. He uses the correct initials, of course. It's tough because you want to go offensive line, right? Like, mm-hmm. skill position. I think CD with Kirby is a great one.
Yeah.
Like, you arguably your most talented wide receiver back. But then again, positional value, it's like, you know, what do you, you know, do wide receivers win titles?
Right.
Or does the offensive line, right? Yeah. Does the quarterback? Like, that goes even into the NFL, right? Like, people pay all these wide receivers big money, but it's like, okay, like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think you either have to go quarterback, offensive line, it maybe running back. And I probably would prefer to go – dang, this is hard. Go ahead.
Watching Adrian Peterson, you're looking at it and like, nobody else can do that. Like,
yeah.
That's the difference is when you look at somebody and you're like, oh, my God, like that guy is – that guy's just better than everybody. Like, it's,
I mean, he'd help John out. He'd help John out. Like, that's,
I'll tell you what, he would.
Like, that's the reality.
It's like, so it's tough because that was a guy, the minute you saw him play in college, you're like, this guy is going to play in the NFL. And not only did he play in the NFL, he nearly broke the single season record. He was 9 yards short and he won NFL MVP. And then, I mean, the first play back from injury. And he totally reset the timeline on major knee injuries. And his first play back from scrimmage, he scores a touchdown, 80 yards. First play of the season. Like, so, like, I think Adrian is just special enough that he may supersede positional value or transcend positional value.
Yeah.
I think if, in no particular order, I'm going Adrian Peterson. I'm going Creed Humphrey. And probably going Trent Williams because I'd move Fasusi over to right. So you'd have Fasusi and Trent on this offensive line. So, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's either Adrian or Baker for me. Cause if I'm going to choose Adrian, he's helping right now Baker also, again, worst case scenario, which I don't think is going to be a case this year. I really believe fully we're finally going to see a competent running game. Does it mean it's going to be top 10? I'm not saying that. But I truly believe outside of any crazy injuries, we will have a top 50 running game, right? And that helps a ton. And Baker with a top 50 running game is going to be just fine. And with this defense, just fine. He'll make it work. I trust Baker. It's hard sometimes to trust John with what we've seen. Let's just be honest.
Baker'd be crazy with the defense. We've yet to see it.
Baker with defense, probably a two-time national champion.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. With this defense, maybe three. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
hey, we imagine it here tonight, aren't we?
We're just having fun.
A couple guys talking ball. All right, let's flip it, man. Defensive side of the ball. Who are we adding? This is harder, Trav, because the defense is so good.
I know. I mean, it feels like you've got to – I mean, you start Trench and out. But, man, you add, like – I don't know. Kirby, I don't know. Who was Indiana's best receiver?
Charlie Becker.
Like
Elijah Surratt. Which, I mean, they're both good receivers, but it's not like you can find receivers.
Jeremiah Smith, you know, what happened to him? You know, Ryan Williams, like, what happened to him? But, yeah, I think the chat's kind of understanding. I think Brian Bosworth, you know what I mean? Like, it's tough because you love your linebackers right now. You got Kip Lewis and Owen Heineke right now with Cole Sullivan backing them up. Like, you feel really good about that. Striker, okay, you got kind of an Okoye type. I mean, Okoye is bigger than Striker, but yeah,
I don't know about that one.
Gerald McCoy or Tommy Harris. Like, but the thing is, like, are you Jaden Jackson, the former freshman All-American? You moving him out? Like, you almost have to search for like. You almost have to go edge rusher. I mean, it's obviously Leroy Selman because he's the best defensive player in Oklahoma history, one of the best defensive players in college football history. But, I mean, but we've got two starting corners that are both very good.
Yeah.
Take Boss now, not even his prime, but make him wear the sheriff outfit. I'll have to let him know about that one. That's funny.
Yeah, man.
I mean, Kirby, the game's different than it used to be, but I'm not sure there's an era where Boz and Selman would not have succeeded.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Like, linebackers now got to drop back a lot more and things like that. But Kirby's going to say Buki.
The only person that I could really truly think of that besides, like you already said, Leroy Selman or Boz would be Roy Williams. And just because I think neither Peyton or Bo is at Roy's level, but I probably have Peyton and Roy out there together. And I think that's a pretty nasty safety duo there.
Yeah, I mean, you could rotate, you know, you could bring Bogue down into a cheetah type situation with Powers.
I'm saying.
But is Roy allowed to hit people like he did?
I'm not even saying he got to play cheetah, but this is a deep cut.
Yeah,
Benito
would definitely play edge. They made sure to not drop him in coverage all the time. But
can you just think about what like some of those defenses and just some of the players at least?
Yeah,
would have been with BB Kenneth Murray. What he would have been with BB? He was already a first round pick.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Delarian Turner Yell was in the NFL. Like you got those guys like.
I think BV could have got a lot of – I know this is going to be crazy. I think he could have got a lot out of Buki the right way.
I don't know if Buki him being 5'5" was you just can't play in the defensive backfield with that. But Perrion Winfrey with Todd Bates, that'd be so much fun. What about Ronnie Perkins?
Oh my goodness. Ronnie Perkins would be V Mirror.
Man, I miss Ronnie. Ronnie was about that action.
Brian Asamoah. I mean, and not that again. NFL guy. You're just talking about like the, I mean, that 2021 defensive front seven was actually pretty nasty. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and you wonder how many of them come back, like, because a couple of them left early. Like, coaching change, they're like, all right, we're out. Like, what are we going to do? Come back and, like, hey, you know, if Caleb's still there, maybe they stick with it.
Maybe they decide to.
But Jimmy bringing up Tony Casillas. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oboe.
Oboe in the SEC would be nuts.
Oboe Unkwankwo, man. That's another great deep cut. All right, Trav. Let's move on, man. We got 10 minutes left, about.
Man, we're already at 51 minutes.
That's already. Crazy. Already.
All right, we'll get everybody while you're in here, like and subscribe. Looks like about 600 right now based on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. We're on the road to 40,000. We're at like 36.6 or something like that.
Especially on YouTube, man.
40,000.
Especially on YouTube. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah. And like the video. I mean, what are we doing? We probably got, I don't know. I'm going to be livid if we, you know, if I log into this later and there are 10 likes. Come on, people.
Yep.
So, because I know you guys are engaged. We're listing every player that's ever played at Oklahoma. I know the like button's just right above the keyboard. It's right there. Knock it out.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. The JP and Trav Show Classic, This or That.
You guys looked at these. You got new ones? I haven't looked at these.
I do have a few new ones that maybe this first one we've done. The other two we have never done before.
Okay.
Got to choose one or the other. If this was, you know, your last day, maybe you have to choose one. No in-betweens. First one up, we're already talking about him. Adrian Peterson or Billy Sims?
Is it who would I rather have the, career of at Oklahoma? It's Billy Sims. But if I – man, it's just so tough because, like, it seems obvious that it's like Adrian Peterson is the best running back I've ever laid eyes on. Like, that guy, he's just different. But Billy Sims, I think it's tough because he's done extremely well in the barbecue business. I know that's crazy to say, but I talked to Billy and his, like, manager often. Like, I talked to them today. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how that's affected his legacy with Sooner fans. You know what I mean? Or even like the Heisman stuff, just shouting Boomer all the time. Like, I wonder if it's like a George Foreman type situation, JP, where it's like more people know him for his grills than his boxing. But he was like, the reason he was in the position is because he was an all-time great boxer. So I wonder if like, if Oklahoma fans, if they really appreciate what Billy was. Like I said, top two in the – he won the Heisman as a junior in, what, 78? Mm-hmm. And then 79 as a senior, finished second. I mean, he was different, man. He was different. So I will take Billy Sims at Oklahoma because he's a Heisman winner. Multiple-time consensus All-American. I think Adrian Peterson is a physical freak, and I will forever love him for what he did for my Vikings. But as Sooners, I'm going with Billy.
Yeah. Billy is unbelievable, truly. I think as a New Age Sooner fan – it's hard not to go with Adrian Peterson. It's hard not to go with All Day because of the sheer just – I mean, he is one of the best college running backs ever. And he's one of the best NFL running backs ever. Like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah. And so I think you consider that. You consider the impact that his broken collarbone had on Oklahoma's season in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the season outlook, it looks completely different. And it's because of him. Like, you know, that's how important he was. And I'm not saying Billy wasn't important to the team, because he was. But Oklahoma was rolling in those days, man. It was a different time. And I think that Adrian Pearson was more valuable at the time, at that time, to the Oklahoma football program. But I understand why Billy Sims would be chosen as well. This is our conversation. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like they both had injuries that derailed parts of their career. Like, Oklahoma, obviously, Adrian with the collarbone injury. But Billy was taken number one overall. And his career was ended by a knee injury. Like,
yeah.
Back when you could tackle with the crown of your helmet. And if a running back is coming through the hole, all you had to do was plant the crown right into their kneecap and then just, you know, like Kirby Joseph does for the current Lions, just run your helmet right through a planted knee, like he does to every tight end in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dirty ass. And anyway. but anyways, I think that, I think a lot of people forget Billy was taken number one overall.
Yeah. All right. Next up, this might send some OU fans off the ledge. I'm ready to see this even after this show's over.
I'm seeing this one.
5-star recruit or a proven transfer? I already know what Trav's answer is. I know Trav too well. 5-star recruit or a proven transfer? Who do you prefer? Yes, Kirby, I know where you stand too.
It's just, it's tough because proven transfer, like, what have you actually done? Like, are you, what have you done playing college football? Not what have you done in 7-on-7 tournaments and Elite 11 and high school and all that kind of stuff. But, man, Jaden Ott was a proven transfer.
Oh, that's going to make me mad, Travis.
Like, Jaden Knott was a proven transfer. And
it's going to make me mad.
And so, like, for every Jackson Arnold you bring up, you got to bring up Jaden Knott, you know.
I defended that man.
So, what other transfers have Oklahoma got that, like, were prolific, but
– Was Cam Coleman a 5-star recruit?
Oh, yeah. He was the number one or number two wide receiver in the class.
Okay.
Because Auburn went on some crazy recruiting run because they were spending all this money and then they didn't do anything with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, KRJ is kind of on track with, like, it represents – but Baker wasn't necessarily – I mean, he played at Tech a bit, like, but he wasn't, like – proven. Yeah. I mean, he showed up. He had to walk on here too. Like,
I mean, what level of proven do we say? Like, I'm not saying, like, okay, he's clear. Like, it's going to be a clear, like, number one guy type. I think that may be obvious. I mean, like, he's been okay. Like, I would say we obviously haven't seen this flesh out. You could say Trell Harris was a proven transfer. You could even say in some, you know, way, shape or form that Isaiah Satania was a proven transfer from Arkansas. I mean, he had 600, 700 yards at Arkansas, so it's not like he hadn't done anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll put it this way. The teams that recruit the best typically win the most. Like, typically. Like, if we just throw outliers out, like, all the teams that win a bunch are all the teams at the top. Like, you look at the recruiting rankings, it's always like Bama, Georgia, Notre Dame, like, you know, Oklahoma, Texas, like, outside of basically A&M, like, the people that recruit extremely well typically make the playoff or I mean, like, typically do something with it. So it's like, and again, having a 5-star recruit, like, that means something. Like, that puts you, you know, that's a you know, sometimes they do work out. Adrian Peterson worked out.
Yeah. Right?
Like, yeah, Jackson Arnold didn't, but I don't know. It's when you look through kind of the annals of history, I think I might go, wow. And you get more years out of the five-star, ideally, if he stays.
This is a hard – I told you, this is a hard question.
Like, theoretically, you're like, okay, if the five-star recruit goes well, you have him for 3 years. Like Michael Fasusi. Like Michael Fasusi or Spencer Brown. Okay, Spencer Brown. Maybe not.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not proven.
But, like, our right tackle this year.
Wanye Morris. You say Wanye.
Yeah, Wanye. But our right tackle transferred in from Arkansas and has played a lot of SEC football, more SEC football than Michael Fasusi has. Which tackle do you feel more comfortable with this year? Like,
we don't need a five-star receiver, Kirby. Isaiah Satania led the SEC last year, bro. Come on.
I would like a five-star receiver. Like, if another Jeremiah Smith's out there.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's nice to have. I'm not, you know. He's just making it, like, it's.
One, that 2019 class can leave a lot of bad taste in people's mouth. Jaden Hazelwood, Theo Weiss. And
thank you.
Trajan Bridges. Like, that was rough. Yeah. Hey, Spencer Rattler started NFL games. So.
That's true.
And he actually beat some teams in South Carolina. But.
Yeah.
There's no good. Come on, you got to choose one, Mr. Davidson. Just one, you know. Just we want to know where you stand, brother.
I will go with. I'm going with five star, like.
Okay.
Recruiting rankings matter, and I know people think they don't. Stars don't matter. Stars absolutely matter. You see it in the NFL draft every single year. Mm-hmm. They matter. You know, having five stars. You know, show up to all these 7-on-7 camps and all these and the opening and all that, repping your gear, like that kind of stuff matters. Like seeing your class near the top, that matters. So I would say that.
Okay. Your father disagrees with you. And
all right. That's all right.
And I know completely where you're coming from. And I knew you were going to say that. Oh, it's a hard conversation, but you know, you said how many times like you want to see people developed, and I think that's what it comes down to, is really are you with the development, or in this new world, do you feel like you can get transfers and get a championship? And I think that proven transfers I would prefer, because if you know what you're getting, then it's the more safe option. And I think we've seen proven transfers be huge in winning national championship games. Obviously, you know, look no further than this year's national champion and Indiana Hoosiers is all transfers. I mean, they ain't got no recruits. They built that from the transfer pool. I'm not saying that has to be everybody.
James Madison, like the coaching staff continuity, like, if I could pick continuity over transfers or five-star, I would pick a coaching staff and team that's been together for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I do. But that's part of it. Like, you know, you're bringing mentality. You bring seriousness. With five-star recruit, especially with the NIL price tag, sometimes you can bring, you know, especially an immaturity as a young kid. And you know, you just don't know what you're gonna get. I mean, some, especially with these recruiting services now, like a five star don't always mean a five star for real. So that's how I feel about it. But I can understand the argument. One,
like Chuck says, no way. How many five stars are in the NFL? A ton. In the last 5 years, five stars have a 63% draft rate. 63%, and there's only 30 of them annually. So there's 30 of them annually. So what's 63% of that? Like 17? No, 18-ish?
Yeah.
I don't know. Quick math. That's a lot. To hit on over half of five stars get drafted, like, man, that's a lot.
Yeah.
5.3% of three stars get drafted.
Much harder. It's a much harder road.
63%. Like, that's – stars absolutely matter, and there are a ton of them in the NFL.
Trav, I have a feeling this one's going to hit on the Twitter sphere over the next few days. When I clip this and we ask that question, because this is a pretty divided topic. It's a pretty divided topic.
You're going to see people's sides come out. It's got a lot of nuance to it, but – I mean, let's see.
Exactly. And Kirby doesn't understand that because all he wants is people driving around in a Hellcat.
Okay. You ready to move on, Trav? Last one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Foodie review, as we normally do. This one may be just as deep as the last one was, just in a different sense. Bacon or sausage? Breakfast.
Oh, man. Bacon or sausage? Man, I go, it depends on the mood, depends on what else I've got on the plate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Depends if I can make a sandwich out of it, or we're doing with links, or we're doing with patties. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I eat a lot more bacon than I do sausage, links, or patties. So I'll probably lean bacon, especially now. A lot of restaurants are doing the big, thick cut bacon. I mean, just like an inch thick of bacon, you know, that's, you know, smoked or broiled. I mean, I think the correct answer is bacon, but sausage has its places. Sausage gravy over biscuit, sausage. I like if I'm getting like a McMuffin or a biscuit, like I prefer sausage on that. But mainly because it fits the biscuit or the McMuffin better. I can get even bites on everything. But yeah, I think bacon's got to take it with respecting sausage as well.
You know, I don't know that bacon is more versatile than sausage. I'm not saying I'm choosing sausage. I'm still you thinking. But so I mean, you get sausage on pizza. You can have sausage in, you know, different versions. You get Polish sausage, you got, you know, sausage links, sausage patties. Like you said, sausage gravy.
We got sausage gump over here. You can make sausage gravy. You can make sausage. You can do everything with sausage. Jeez.
But with that being said.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Bacon is the way to go. It just is. I do love sausage. I'm not going to lie to you. But bacon is just, it's a classic. You can, like you said, having a bacon, egg, and cheese, brother. I mean, when you get a good bacon, egg, and cheese, dog, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. I'm telling you right now. You know, BLT, a bacon cheeseburger. I mean, there's just not a lot that bacon doesn't make. You can get bacon on a wet salad. Yep. You know what I mean?
Bacon ranch. You could have
bacon ranch.
Bro, the Peter Luger's, the steakhouse. I think they got one in Brooklyn, one in Vegas. And they serve bacon on top of their wedge. And it's like, brother, it's like lardons. Like, it's thick cut. So, yeah, I've got a bunch of bacon grease.
Is Pops talking about on a burger? Or are he just talking about in general?
Bacon, yeah, peanut butter and bacon. Oh, on a burger. On a sandwich. I've
had that on a burger. That is good on a burger. I'll tell you that right now. Patty melt. that's another question. That might be another this or that. Crispy.
I will say, I like mine tender, we'll call it. Chewy, not really what I'm going for. But I can't do the, like, break in half. bacon. That doesn't make a lick of sense to me. I don't know, man. Like, oh, you said it's straight up just peanut butter spread on bacon? That's crazy. I mean, I guess it's like
you find out new things every day. Chad didn't know that about his own father.
But that's crazy. But
this is even crazier. A peanut butter bacon banana sandwich. That's you need to be locked up.
I bet it's fire, but I don't think I've had one. You guys aren't ready for our sandwich discussions. American cheese, relish, and peanut butter. Now that's a sandwich, but y'all ain't ready for those conversations.
I'm sorry. Run that back before we end the show. You said what?
Peanut butter, dill pickle relish, and American cheese.
Travis, what?
Yeah, it's great.
I trust you with food, bro, but like.
There you go. That's all you got to say to leave the butt out of it. You trust me with food. Okay. I'll tell you what, man, try it out. It's a Davidson family
steak. Okay. So when I see you in a month, I mean, you don't have other things to worry about, to be honest.
But yeah, I will be getting married at the time.
It's fine.
Hey, babe, sorry, I can't make it to the rehearsal. JP and I are.
I need a sandwich. This
sandwich is delicious.
Yeah. No, maybe I'll have, you know, we can find a way. I'll talk to your pops or Mama Sue. Maybe they can make one for me. But
they're great. We used to take them on road trips. And then I took them. Some of my friends were skeptical as well. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to make some for you. So I made it and brought it over to a UFC fight we were watching. And they all tried. And they're like, it is weird. But then they kept on going back and they finished them all. I'm telling you, people don't admit it. You know, you may eat it in your room alone, you know, under the covers, but you're going to eat it. You're going to like it. Exactly. Chuck knows what's up. I'm eating all the time, man. You didn't eat today.
Normally, you know.
No, well, I smashed a whole bag of sunflower seeds on the way back from Norman.
Yeah,
the Chinook Cedary ones, so they're, you know, actually significantly better for you than the sodium bombs that everybody else sells. But yeah, I had a big old pork chop and some broccoli when I got home out of the sous vide. The pork chop out of the sous vide, seared it up outside, and yeah, I don't know if JP Daniels VO calling me skinny.
He must be. You must not know nothing about Trav, man. Oh, look, nice. You didn't see restaurant Trav, okay? And he wasn't big, but he cooked now.
Yeah, I was probably like at my height, I was maybe like 240, maybe something like that. I weighed in at 201 today. So
Trav, they say you Morgan's Trav now. You moved up from Grill Boy. Don't nobody know you can cook no more.
Yeah. Now I yep, still yep, I am mortgage guy, but I'll always know the food game, that's for sure.
There is nobody I trust in my life to tell me how to cook a steak more than him. And generally, definitely not food. Like for food, it was my dad, and then it's Travis. Like literally, those are the two people that I have trusted with food the most in my life, and they've never turned me wrong. So there you go.
Yep.
But we appreciate you guys, man. Fun episode. We're a little bit over.
Great episode.
Time flies. Time flies when you have fun.
The interviews are fun, and we love them, and we'll keep doing them. Don't worry. I know we want to get more. Recruits in front of you, commits in front of you, players in front of you, you know, national folks in front of you. Obviously, Pate and Pakel and all those guys have been on. Like, we'll keep bringing that to you for sure. Obviously, Chris Phillips, and even though you baseball guys, like, Cord came on with us. That was really cool. Go check that out if you haven't. So, but bringing it back to the old school is fun. So,
this was a classic JP and Trav episode. It was a good one.
Absolutely. But, if you got nothing to add, I'm good to go too, brother.
Yes, sir. We will see you guys next week about the same time. We appreciate your love and support. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe before you head out of here. And as always, man, Boomer.